Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello everyone, Mark Johnston here with High Thrive Coaching. You may notice that I am missing Heather Choate here. She's normally on the podcast with me, but she's going to be taking some time off because Heather is getting ready to have another baby. So we'll give her some time to rest, to step aside for a bit, to relax, so that she and her family can prepare for this. This week, though, what we're going to talk about is the question, is it possible to restore trust after it's broken? I know a lot of people around here have, have experienced issues with trust being broken, whether it is you yourself breaking that trust or your partner. And it can seem really insurmountable. Just because, what tends to happen is people close off, they tend to shut down, they tend to pull away quite often when that trust is broken. And, that can seem like a really daunting problem to tackle. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that and talk about how to solve that. But before we get into that, I'd like to just discuss our client win of the week. This one is from Christy. So Christy's been working with our program for several months now. And at the start, her husband was telling her that it was completely over. It was really angry, didn't want to speak with her hardly. It's really pushing her away. But Christy has been working hard. And after many changes in how she's handling herself, some adjustments to how she communicates with her husband, they've really turned things around. Currently, they are regularly spending time together, just casually. Oftentimes, he's the one to initiate the event. They've really actually become great friends, and there are indicators that they're going to continue to grow closer together. I'm pointing this out mainly because, it's our philosophy that, if there is a marriage crisis, you do want to really work on maybe some of those lower levels of the relationship again. Almost treat it as though you are beginning to court or date your partner again. I know there are many people that would look at this and say, oh no, this person's getting stuck in the friend zone, but that's not the case at all. This really builds up a foundation for the relationship. And this is actually a really good progress to go from, I don't want to be around you to, I want to be around you. It feels good to be around you. It's a big shift. So I'm seeing a comment here, where comment saying that her husband is still having an affair and wants, trying to rebuild trust in this sort of situation. And we are actually going to address that here right now. So actually, with all this topic of rebuilding trust, when I start working with either a couple or just an individual client, the comment brings in a very important point and something that is always the first question that I ask when you're trying to rebuild trust is the problem truly in the past? Here's the thing about trust. It is this kind of sense that one can be vulnerable or open or allow for some wiggle room here because the expectation is that vulnerability will actually be treated with respect and that there will not be, it won't result in any sort of pain. So we might trust our friend to get to an engagement on time because otherwise that would be hurtful. We might trust our partner to go out with and party with their friends because we don't, we expect that they will be faithful, that they won't, cheat on us, that they won't be doing unkind things. And, we trust our, I trust my wife with a lot of personal emotional things. You know, I really open up to her in our conversations because I trust that she's going to treat those feelings well. The thing is, if there is active pain, you can't actually have trust because it works completely against the whole principle of trust. You build up trust with vulnerability and that vulnerability being treated well. It's a cycle. And as you know, as one person extends some vulnerability and then that vulnerability is respected, accepted, appreciated, then more trust can be built up and more vulnerability can be given. So, you know, what I will tend to ask here is, you know, or what I tend to see is there will be someone who has broken some trust. And they say, well, why don't you trust me? I want you to trust me with something when the pain is very recent. And this is a deep topic. I'm not going to be able to go into everything here today, but some quick questions to ask yourself is, you know, the question, are you making progress towards leaving that pain behind? Are people motivated to change? Are people open to new ideas and new methods? Basically, are there active steps to actually eliminating that pain? Well, that's a situation then maybe you can start consider extending some small amounts of trust. Because you know there is there are indicators. If there are actions like this being taken, there are indicators then that the momentum is heading in a different direction. Not to say that you know there aren't going to be setbacks or whatnot, but you have to ask yourself, is the pain truly in the past? Otherwise, you can't even start to begin that trust process. There's a lot of different things to focus on in terms of rebuilding trust. And I'm going to get a little bit into this in the, you know, when we go over our marriage myth buster. This isn't just strictly about the person who has, you know, the betrayer, the person who has caused the pain. It is not simply their responsibility to build this up by themselves. You know, a lot of you are here because you are trying to work on your marriage and your partner isn't really working with you or isn't really completely actively involved in reconciliation or fixing the problem. And so there are things that you can do yourself to move beyond some of this, beyond some of the pain, and rebuild some trust. So whether your partner is involved in this or not, I do think the a big thing here would be to quit obsessing on this kind of existential question: why me? Why did this happen to me? Avoiding some of this victim mentality is a huge part of being able to restore trust and letting go of all of that. It's really easy for people who have been hurt, you know, to obsess about that question. Why did they hurt me? They're going to hurt me again. And, you know, just holding on to this fear. And a big way to let go of this, you know, what's going on in this moment, they're holding on to these things because, once again, it goes into that principle. The person who's hurt is fearing that they're going to be hurt again. And they fear that because they don't have a sense of control over the situation. So, for instance, you have a partner who is somewhat dismissive of the trust issues. Well, that can be really disorienting. It really doesn't give you a sense of control that you won't be hurt again. And that feels really disheartening. It feels like you cannot then extend that trust. So one way that we remedy this is to provide provide areas where you can control either the situation or your life in general. I oftentimes will, in these sort of cases, if I do have access to both partners in the couple, you know, I tend to go through and help them to clearly define responsibilities regarding whatever problem has cropped up. You know, for instance, in a issue involving, say, like a drug addiction, we might clearly define that the non-addicted partner is not actually responsible for the the acting out of the addicted partner. They aren't responsible if there are setbacks or not, but they can, you know, be responsible for the support that they give and the accountability that they hold their partner to. Whereas the addicted partner might be responsible for, you know, opening up and being truthful about their habits and whatnot. This sort of thing really goes a long way in terms of giving the betrayed partner that sense that I can have some things that I can affect, that I have a sense of control. And a lot of this, why me, why did this happen, this victim mentality just comes about because there is an effort to control certain parts of the relationship that they actually really have no control over. And this desperation comes up and this this frustration comes up. And yeah, I'm seeing a lot of your the comments here are just really going off of some of the things that we're talking about, the how the pain is not in the past, and how there is a little bit of sense of, you know, this why me. But if you are going to get past some of these things, you're going to have to have a focus here on what can I learn, what can I control, what can I affect, and what can I not. I think one of these other comments here brings up another important factor here. You know, my spouse has stepped out in our marriage, but tells me that she can't trust me anymore, such that we both have trust issues now, and I need her to trust me. And here's the thing about that is, you know, this doesn't necessarily extend one way. The, you know, in these sort of events, you know, even though in this case his wife has walked out on the marriage, for her to feel safe and comfortable enough to revisit the marriage, there are going to be certain things that, you know, maybe you need to do to help support her in feeling safe enough to trust the marriage. This is exactly what I was talking about right here, that it may not be all just the person who has betrayed the relationship, and that you do have some things that you can do to affect this, some responsibilities. You know, I can remember my wife and I, very early in our marriage, had some issues with trust. And, you know, we had some, you know, we went to go seek counseling for this, and the counseling that we received, it was from religious leaders. And in this case, they told us, hey, there's nothing that you can do. This is going to ruin your marriage. You should probably exit out now while you still can, was the basic advice that was given. It was terrible advice, honestly. I, you know, obviously, you know, my wife and I currently are very happy together because we worked through a lot of those issues. And one of the things that was a big moment that turned us around was when we could each take responsibility for our own parts in the matter, and we could each support each other in what the other person was struggling in, instead of being stuck in how we were in, you know, how I myself was hurt, or how my wife Jen was hurt herself. Instead of focusing on that and demanding that the other person fix that, we were able to come together and support each other with our struggles. And this is what I'm talking about, that the avoidance of the victim mentality and the focus on what can I learn, what am I responsible for, what can I affect here. I mean, this is, like I said, this is a complicated matter. There's lots of different facets to this. You know, between the taking responsibility for your own actions and actually addressing current problems, you know, I other things that you can do yourself, though, you know, if you're looking for things that you can control, is, you know, related to those two topics, the, you know, is the pain truly in the past, and, you know, avoidance of the victim mentality, we're going to go over two more topics, the holding your partner accountable and setting boundaries, and being able to forgive and let go. So we'll talk about each of those in turn. With the, you know, especially if pain is very recent or current, or, you know, if there isn't responsibility taken for the pain that's being caused, there needs to be, you know, I often will find many couples who have a hard time speaking up for themselves, setting boundaries, and holding their partner accountable with, you know, with love, with a supportive air. You know, it's one thing to say, you can't do this anymore, you can't hurt me anymore, this has to stop, or else. And it's another thing to say, I can see how much you're struggling with this, I'm going to support you in fixing this. And then, you know, even further, if they're still not cooperating, then to reiterate that point, but set some boundaries to protect yourself. You know, it's a different, you know, it's a difference in how you approach, how you feel as you are setting those boundaries. One can be a reaction out of that pain. The other is more of a, you know, an objective look at this, and a look of, a stance of support and love, even if you are having to set boundaries and push your partner away a little bit in the process. The, you know, I remember very early on in working in this group, you know, we first started putting out some brief articles, just some posts that were a little bit lengthier. And I remember a post that really got a lot of heat, a lot of controversy, a lot of people commenting on it and saying that we were absolutely wrong. It was a matter of, you know, a stance that I had taken on supporting your spouse through something like a pornography addiction. And, you know, I was coming from a stance saying, hey, if you're going to solve this problem, there needs to be understanding for the problem and support given for the problem and accountability given. And a lot of people responded saying that that was being too kind and being too permissive. And I will still stick to my guns on that one and saying that, you know, you're going to have a lot more influence with a difficult problem like that if you are thoughtfully approaching it and giving love and support and accountability, helping them to be accountable. And this is, you know, a little bit what I'm talking about here, is there, if you're going to work on issues of trust, especially when there's been a big event that has really damaged the trust between you and your spouse, if you're going to get through that, you're not going to be able to get through it by reacting out of anger and lashing back out or closing off. You know, and if it's your partner that is doing many of those things, well, I mean, that's a different matter, but let's you know, we'll get into that in a second. You're not going to be able to do it by being angry and lashing out, like I said. I truly think that a lot of these bigger issues are solved by learning to stand up for yourself, learning to communicate, learning to set boundaries, but doing it with a loving demeanor and, you know, something that stands up for yourself, but also holds your partner accountable for what they're doing. And I'm going to be honest, it's a hard balance to strike. It's a really difficult balance to hold here because, you know, in many of these cases, the situation is very charged. It's very emotional. And it's difficult to be that objective, calm, caring person when you yourself are feeling a lot of turmoil. And I think the way you can get there is that other topic that I mentioned and I want to move to now, is the idea of letting go, forgiving, or forgiving or seeking forgiveness, that letting go aspect. Like I said, one of the you know, my wife and I, we've had our own struggles, and you know, trust was a big issue early on in our marriage. And we each had to let go of some of that pain that was going on in our early marriage. Now I've given a lot of, you know, through with training and, you know, just years of experience, I've been able to help people to refine that sort of experience. But, you know, my wife and I, we kind of stumbled through it when we were trying to go through it ourselves. You know, I often will hear people say, you know, I just can't let go of this. It's too hard. It's too hurtful. It's too painful. And that's understandable, especially if you have been really hurt. If there has been a huge breach in trust, going back to what I said early on, it's hard to let go of that, especially if you don't have confidence that you won't be hurt again. But if you are ready, you know, if it is something that you would like to do, if you are looking to let go so that you can build up trust again, there are certainly things that can be done. You know, oftentimes I will suggest some sort of ritual or symbolic act. And I don't mean like a ritual as in like a cultish sort of thing. Just it's something that, you know, an act that represents letting go of the pain. I imagine, you know, if you have not done this yourself, you've probably seen TV or movies, characters doing something similar of, you know, people burning their ex's belongings or ripping up photos of someone you didn't like, or, you know, even refusing gifts or kind gestures. I can remember one of my younger brother and I, when we were young, I used to tease him quite a bit. And I remember I can't even remember why I was in his room, but going into his room and finding a photo of me with my, the picture of my eyes were all kind of ripped out and he had carved into the side of his desk, "I hate Mark." Now he and I, we actually were really close. I think he was just angry at that time. And of course we have a good relationship now. But this was symbolic for him. It was a way to really put out his feelings there. And that's not even what I'm talking about. But these are symbolic actions sometimes, you know, the burning the ex's belongings or ripping up photos or things like this. These are symbols of letting someone go. And it sounds like all my kids are just coming home from school and you'll have to forgive the background noise. I'm not even saying that you do these sort of things to let go of your spouse, but what I'm pointing out is there are certain actions that help someone let go of a relationship. There's also certain actions that you can do that can represent letting go of pain. So maybe, especially if you are involving your spouse, maybe you can work together on a symbolic act of letting go of that pain. Writing out all the things that have hurt and tossing that into a fire, or maybe going to certain locations and saying goodbye to those hurtful locations. Or maybe it's a symbolic act and, you know, actually moving your home, saying like moving, like this is the home where we had all this pain. We're actually going to move into a new place and start a new life. People do these sort of things all the time. And if someone is willing, you know, work with your partner to come up with these sort of things. Anyways, what I'm getting at here is I'm kind of putting this shotgun of actions out, suggestions out here, just a sprinkling of things that can be done to restore trust. And I honestly, I'm just scratching the surface with all of this. Of course, it's all going to be dependent on your unique situation, whether you are the betraying partner or whether you have been the one that's been betrayed. It's going to depend on what those hurtful acts are, whether they're ongoing. There's a lot of factors here that really make it difficult to generalize a course of action here in, you know, say a 30-40 minute podcast. What I'm getting at here is there are lots of things to be done, whether you are needing to let go of yourself, needing to trust your partner, or trying to build, help your partner build up trust in you. And, you know, as a segue into all of this, we are actually going to be running a workshop later in the month, all on trust. So hopefully to cover all of those topics. So if you are at all needing to either rebuild, help your partner rebuild trust in you, or you're wanting to have more trust in your partner, or whether you're wanting to actually come together as a couple and work through trust issues, I suggest that you either get in on the workshop, or we are actually offering some newer services in terms of like a premium workshop, much more focused in individual attention for myself and my team. So stay tuned for some announcements for that. Now, before we get close up today, I do want to get into the marriage mythbuster. So the myth for this week, and I hope you already kind of recognize where I'm going to go with this. Myth being, it is completely the responsibility of the one at fault to fix things. Or another way to say this is, if I'm the one that was hurt, I don't need to do anything for trust to be restored. Like, the responsibility is on my partner. So I'm calling out this myth because it is a common misconception. We say to ourselves, well, they're the one that hurt me. It is their responsibility to fix things. And certainly, you could go about it that way. You know, in many cases, that might actually work, especially if you are very close and you are in a generally healthy state. The person who has caused the pain is in a generally healthy state. But what I will say is, there are many circumstances here where that doesn't work well, or it can build up resentment, or it can build up some amount of disrespect. It can really actually drive a relationship further apart, depending on how strongly you hold to that stance, or you know, what your emotional state is when you are taking that stance. We talked a little bit about today the concept of having, you know, dividing responsibility, you know, determining what you control versus what your partner controls. And I would say that if you want to have an ideal, healthy relationship, that even if you are the one that is hurt, there needs to be some consideration for the other partner, some empathy towards them. And why? Why did this hurtful act happen? I think for my wife Jen and I, that is actually one of our superpowers is, you know, not that we never fight or that we're never upset at each other, but that once we have calmed down, we are always willing to look at the other person's perspective and make sure that, you know, even if we were the one that was hurt, that we take time to listen, to understand each other. And honestly, this is one of the biggest things that helps Jen and I to work. And, you know, it's something that can just consistently help you or in your partner, or just really any relationship, get over all the small little bumps and bruises that are naturally going to happen in a relationship. I call them natural, but you know, also expected bumps and bruises that happen in a relationship, because no relationship is going to be perfect. So what I'm getting at here is that if you really truly want a thriving marriage, one where you are completely happy to be with each other, there isn't really any room here to say that this part of the relationship is solely my partner's responsibility. I'm not going to do anything. I want to show them that I'm hurt. Because that's really all that sentiment is. If someone is going about this saying, my partner needs to fix this, really what they're looking for is they're looking for a way to communicate their feelings, just how hurt they are in many cases. They want to feel understood. You know, that this person wants to feel understood, and I get that. I hope I have explained this well. I hope you get what I'm getting after. And like I said, if you are struggling with trust, look for the announcements later in the month. We are going to be talking all about trust in our workshops and whatnot. So please, please stay tuned. I would love to see you in the workshop. I'm going to be working personally with many of the people going through there. We are also going to be running a lecture series with, you know, slides and so on and so forth. So with that said, I will see you all next week for the next podcast. See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.